Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, sometimes I realize we never explain what the podcast is for people who have never listened before. We take a wrestler, we watch five of their matches, we talk about them, we kind of cover their whole career, and the matches are usually posted, fullpresswrestling.com. You can watch the matches, you can watch along with us. Isn't that cool? But today, this week, it's Tajiri time. Yoshihiro Tajiri, a staple of the Ruthless Aggression / Attitude Era, but also an ECW guy. And his list of promotions on his Wikipedia is long as hell.
I don't doubt that. I really don't. The Japanese buzzsaw is all over.
He just shows up, kicks some heads for like 18 to 24 months, and then leaves.
You know why? It's because Pitbull stole his gimmick. He's Mr. the real Worldwide? Mr. Worldwide.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. Let's do all the housekeeping stuff off the bat, and then we'll get into some things. Wherever you're listening, be sure to like and subscribe. Give us those 5-star reviews. It helps out tremendously as we continue to grow the podcast. Merch table's open. Fullpressshop.com. Cop the merch. Support the boys. And, of course, the most important place to follow us is on Twitter, at Crossbody of Work. Join the, like, 2,200 people who follow us there. Yeah. And you can tweet at us ideas for who we should cover next. We've got our 3-parter coming up, which we will talk about at the end of this episode. So stay tuned for that. Very exciting news. And yeah, I think that's all the stuff. Let's talk about things that are in the news. How about that? Javier, what broke? I think it was yesterday at time of recording. What broke yesterday?
Aside from my will to live, the fact that Vince McMahon is now being investigated by WWE for allegedly paying $3 million in hush money to someone he had an affair with.
It's one of those things that I read, and I'm like, yeah, that happened. Like, it took zero stretch for my brain to go, no, I believe that 100%.
I'm at the point with Vince McMahon, and I've been at this point for years now, many, many years now. Honestly, probably since I was a kid, where you could just tell me absolutely anything. I'm talking pull out of your ass the most outlandish thing you could possibly think of and say Vince McMahon did it, and I would believe you.
Yeah, he's like Michael Jackson, where any story is kind of true, and you're like, yeah, I believe it. Sure. I believe it.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it's being investigated by the WWE board. People are now saying that's the reason that Stephanie stepped away about a month ago, is that she knew that this investigation was ongoing.
I actually thought I heard a different thing with Stephanie.
Which
I heard
is?
That she's so the WWE, I believe, is getting sued right now by MLW over a deal that they over a thing because MLW was basically claiming that WWE blocked them from being able to sign a deal with Tubi, who is part owned by Fox, and I guess WWE was like
no,
mm-hmm. And Stephanie McMahon specifically called, I guess, one lawyer or something from Tubi's end, or representative or whatever, and was like, yeah, if you do this, WWE's out of Fox or whatever. And because of that, the deal obviously didn't go through. She was specifically listed in that investigation.
Oh my God.
So far. So what I'm hearing is she dropped the ball on that. And so.
Man, and just the week of news that has happened in wrestling is insane. WWE is the biggest game in town, but it feels like it's imploding. Vince doing this, which the important thing, I need to say this specifically, it was in the Wall Street Journal, is that it's not just Vince, it's also Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis, and the it's disgusting the way that they say that Vince, quote, passed her like a toy on to Johnny Ace. This is a person. This is a human being who they say just he passed her on like a toy to John Laurinaitis. And people, of course, are like, what does Linda have to say about this? And what is the Bella's dad, Bella's mom, who Johnny Ace is with, what do they say about this? And it's like, I hope that they are okay. This is nuts.
So I read earlier today that apparently Vince and Linda are no longer together. They've separated.
Yeah, I read that too. The other thing is, everything we're getting is from Twitter and from Meltzer, mainly. Meltzer.
Well, the Wall Street Journal is a very credible source.
And that's
they're
the
not
thing
reporting
is,
this unless they know.
This report is from the Wall Street Journal, and then all this other like additional things are Twitter and like, you know, Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful and Dave Meltzer and all that. Other things that happened this week, Jeff Hardy, that man needs an Uber. This is like,
somehow that has become back page news.
I hope he's insane. Okay. I think like every wrestling fan is on the same page of like, we hope Jeff is okay. We hope he is healthy, but come on, man. Come on. You can afford an Uber. You're Jeff Hardy. You can get a ride.
Get some help.
Yeah. We just hope he's okay. Sasha Banks may or may not be released. Her attorneys might be working on getting her released. That also is a thing that happened this week.
Someone call Stardom right now.
Like, there's just so much happening this week. It's Orton might be out until the end of the year with his back injury.
And he's like penned in right now to be Roman's opponent at SummerSlam, which throws that out for a complete loop.
Roman just doesn't show up to things now. It's
people keep getting injured.
Look, we don't talk about current wrestling usually, because I think sometimes it just hurts our brain. And this week we just had to be like, this is why. This is maybe why we don't talk about current wrestling. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, there are enough podcasts out there that talk about wrestling on a weekly basis. We get don't their need
actual
to be
good takes. We're just confused over here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Yoshihiro Tajiri.
Yeah, let's do that. Go on, Evan.
What do you know about Tajiri? Before this pod, before we did the matches, what did you know about Tajiri?
Well, as you know, the Ruthless Aggression era was my time period in wrestling. It's when I was very, very young. But, you know, it was my attitude era, I guess.
For sure.
In that, you know, it was when, to me, wrestling was at its best. And to me, still is when wrestling was at its best. And Tajiri was, he was a contributing player in that, you know, his stuff with Regal, his run as cruiserweight in the cruiserweight division, you know, I remember the Mist, the Buzzsaw kick, the Tarantula, which I thought was so dope, even though it literally could only last for 5 seconds. Like, you know, he just had a lot of stuff that was really cool. And the thing that I really appreciated about Tajiri was at the time that he was on the roster, there was nobody else like him.
Yeah, he was very original.
Yeah, and you know, as I've gotten more into Japanese wrestling, you know, you find, you know, bits and pieces of, you know, guys like Tajiri, just in a lot of different places. I mean, everything Tajiri's done has probably been done by most of the, you know, junior division in New Japan nowadays.
Yeah,
but you know, just to see this stuff happening back in the 90s and early 2000s, I thought that was not only unique to its time period, but just so fucking cool to see.
Tajiri was just different than anything else you saw. Like, that was his whole thing, is that you just didn't really see this on Western TV screens. So a little bit about young Tajiri. He started wrestling in 1994. Originally, he was going to be a kickboxer, but then watched a bunch of wrestling matches from Mexico, watched a bunch of Lucha Libre, and was like, that looks awesome. I would like to do that instead. Made his debut for IWA, International Wrestling Association of Japan. He went to CMLL, Big Japan Pro Wrestling. He would actually do some appearances in 97 and 96 as a WWF enhancement talent. He would lose to Takamichi Noku. He would have a tag match against Scott Taylor and Takamichi Noku, briefly work in CMLL. But what we're looking is something I didn't know was on his resume from this early, is a match from the Best of the Super Juniors, the fourth ever tournament, 1997. And it's Tajiri versus Shinjiro Otani. And for those who don't know, what is the Best of the Super Juniors, Javier?
So New Japan has two divisions. It's the heavyweight division and, aside from the tag teams, obviously.
Yeah, but, and even those have their own divisions.
Yeah, although they can also work single stuff. So I just count them in. I just lump them all in within the two divisions. Yeah. Heavyweight division, which is, you know, box standard wrestlers. You've got your Okadas, Tanahashis.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much anyone over like 200 pounds probably.
That's probably the cutoff.
Yeah. Or like a certain height or whatever can fit in that role. And then you've got the juniors who are, you know, your Kushidas, Rey Mysterios, you know, the
Ricochets.
Ricochet, your speedy guy who's probably 6 feet and under, skinny, but super fast, super athletic, very exciting.
They're in WWE,
offense.
They end up on a purple show.
In WWE, they are Cedric Alexander.
Yes, they are. I do not know anything about Shinjiro Otani. I know very little. I don't know if, have you ever heard that name?
No, and I told you this before the podcast recording. I just referred to him as Shohei Otani the whole time.
Shinjiro Otani, he was with New Japan from 92 to 01, and then was with Pro Wrestling Zero from 2001 to now. Like, he is still there. Yeah, he's aged 49. One-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, one-time NWA World Welterweight Champion. Yeah. So, you know, he's done some things. He's been around. He won the WWF Light Heavyweight Championship one time.
Homie, everyone won that title.
That's true. That thing was passed around. And
that thing was passed more than the DDT Pro Ironman title.
Shinjiro Otani has won the Best Technical Wrestler Award before for the Wrestling Observer. 1999. So 2 years after this match. What did you think watching this match? Obviously one neither of us have ever seen.
Yeah, no, it was definitely, I thought it was one-sided.
It is pretty one-sided. Poor Tajiri does not get a lot of offense in.
Did you say Tajiri?
Yeah.
No, Tajiri gets like all the offense in.
Nope.
Is Tajiri not the one in the black?
No, he's in the blue.
No, I am a 1,000,000% convinced Tajiri was the one in the black.
Friends, if you watch this match, it is some grainy ass footage.
I saw his face. That was 100% Tajiri.
I am pretty sure that it's not Tajiri. I'm pretty sure Tajiri's the other guy.
I want a court ruling.
We're gonna pause the recording. We're gonna find this out and come right back.
3 days later,
we're back, dear listeners. And
I'll take my L.
Javier takes his L like a gentleman. Tajiri is in the white and blue trunks. Otani is in the black trunks. What did you think of the match?
I thought this match was pretty fun. Personally,
Jerry gets his shit pumped for quite a bit of it.
Yeah, I thought he was a badass heel the entire time. Next thing I know, he's the one getting punked out.
He is getting punked out. He gets wrecked early.
Seriously, guys, like, this is some grainy footage. I want everyone to go in and watch. There is a point in the where so early on in this match, I guess Otani is like, how do you even describe it? He's like fucking stomping grapes on Tajiri's face.
That's pretty much it. He's just stepping. Like, he's boot face washing him.
Yeah. Like, there are people nowadays that pay for that. Anyways. and, like, there's a point where they put the camera on his face, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Tajiri. 100% I thought it was Tajiri. No, anyways.
It's a lot clearer if you look up the images. If you put in Otani versus Tajiri and you check the images, you can see clearly Tajiri's face. And it's weird because Tajiri normally has like a little bit of facial hair, but he's such a baby face here. Like, he looks so young.
He looks like a child. Anyways, Otani is a dirty, dirty man. Dirty, dirty, dirty man. This is outrageous what he's doing. You're standing on his face. He's just kicking him. He's like fucking, he's just not even doing any real offense.
He does a sliding drop kick and then a tree of woe and another sliding drop kick. Like, it's a lot of just boots to faces. You know, the face wash, like you mentioned, the corner. Tajiri does grab the boot, push him back, and then hits a nice senton off the apron. That was nice. That was a nice offense from Tajiri.
Yeah, you know what else was fucking nice? The random switch into the cross arm bar.
Yes.
There was a like Bruce Lee kick that he does at one point here is the best way I could fucking describe it. And then he like wrenches into another cross arm bar.
Yeah. And then we get the face washing, the like just stomps.
Yeah. And Tajiri finally gets some offense. He kicks him in the knee, does a rolling senton off the apron. But it doesn't even fucking matter. He goes for a normal suplex, but Otani flips that into a German suplex, then hits a missile drop kick.
This drop kick levels Tajiri. He falls like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. Otani hits a bridging German for a near fall. And then Tajiri, a little down the line, finally gets his bearings. He hits a Frankensteiner for a near fall.
Yep.
He goes for a second one, but Otani just catches him, says, fuck that, powerbomb.
I do like how even if he just feels like a bully, Otani's offense just seems to boil down to just being a bully. He's just like, I'm just going to throw you to the ground.
I mean, yeah, throw you to the ground, but then he follows up the powerbomb with a fucking springboard spinning heel kick for a near fall.
That's pretty dope, yeah.
And then, so we kind of get close to the finish here a little bit, where Tajiri kicks out the knee with a pendulum swing, like off the top rope kind of deal.
Pretty nice.
Tajiri then hits a powerbomb, and then does like the spinning shit.
Legs underneath the arms of the downed opponent, and you spin him around, and like it's like put him in the washing machine for a little bit, trying to get him all discombobulated.
Yeah, and then Tajiri just locks him in, hits a dragon suplex with a bridge. 1, 2, 3. Tajiri wins.
Tajiri with the win. Tajiri would be 3-3 in his block of the best of Super Juniors, and move on. Unfortunate. I liked it. Interesting to see like a little bit of Tajiri origins, you know?
It's nice to see him selling.
That's fair. He had to sell quite a bit.
You don't see a lot of selling in the best of the Super Juniors.
That's true. That is...
Be fast, hitting moves. You know, it's a fun time.
Speaking of, you know, fast and hitting moves, the next couple matches, we're going to look at Tajiri and ECW. And when people are like, wow, like, remember when Ospreay and Ricochet were doing all their, like, series of flippy shit openings and stuff in their matches? People were like, what happened to wrestling? Man, my brother in Christ, it has been happening since 1999. Like, ECW has been doing it the whole time.
And not only that, my brother in Christ, have you seen a Psychosis match?
Have you been to Lucha Libre?
Like, do you know who Super Crazy is?
Well, Super Crazy is in our next match. It is a three-way dance in ECW. It is Super Crazy defending against Tajiri, of course, and Little Guido. ECW television title on the line, and it is April 8th, 2000. So Tajiri joined ECW in 1998. He had a big storyline rivalry with Super Crazy, and then in 99 is when he kind of transitioned his gimmick to be a little bit more Muta-inspired. He integrated the mist. He started using his karate, like his GI pants that you associate him with instead of the trunk.
Did you say GI?
Yeah, isn't that what they're called?
It's just gi.
Oh, wow. I've never heard it said out loud, so I've only ever read it, and I just always read it as GI.
Did you think this was like GI fucking Joe or some shit?
I've heard of GI. I've never heard of Gi before. So you know what? We're learning things. This is an educational podcast. Nobody can tell me differently.
Like, you know, like, what did you think the karate like white suit was called?
I have never thought about what it is called.
It's just a Gi.
Oh, that. I learned things today.
You never took the one-off karate class when you were a kid?
No, I never really wanted to do the karate stuff. I did like other after-school activities. I never was like the karate kid. I would go home and watch Karate Kid.
I took one when I was a kid, and I was immediately like, because I guess it was like free or something, because a friend of mine told me to. And my mom let me do it, and immediately I was like, this is just not happening again.
How old were you, do you think?
God, like 8.
When I was 5, I was like, Mom, I want to do dance. And she's like, okay. And God bless my parents, because my mom was like, sure. And I went to 2 classes. And after the second one, I was like, Mom, I don't like it. She's like, we'll never go again. Like, she's like, if you don't want to go dance, you don't have to go dance. And if you're wondering what the style was, because I know you're curious, take a guess. What do you think? What did little Evan want to do?
I'm going to guess. I don't think it was ballet.
Nope.
Was it ballroom?
It was not ballroom. I wanted to be a tap star. He's a runner. He's a tap star. Anyways, we're talking about ECW. Tajiri was recruited by the network. And if you're wondering what the network was, it's when ECW switched to TNN and they decided they needed a heel stable to represent the show they were, or the station they were now on. Imagine if the Authority said that they were from USA and Fox directly. That's essentially what the network was.
That's a good idea.
It's not bad. And the group themselves was great. They had Cyrus the Virus, which is a familiar face. You probably saw it at the end of the match. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, it's Don Callis.
It's Don Callis. Rhino's in the group. Steve Corino, Jack Victory, which is just, I guess, Steve Corino's lackey. We've seen him before when we did Steve Corino back in the day.
How do you remember Jack Victory from the Steve Corino episode?
That's how notable he was. And they got Tajiri into this match. What did you think of the match?
I thought this match was fucking chaotic.
It was hard to watch on sped up speed.
I still watched it on 1.5.
I did too, but my notes were getting a little fast.
I kept having to pause. And I got to tell you, there's an MVP to this match, and it's none of the three guys.
Who's the MVP?
We'll get to it. So immediately
Andre Iguodala style MVP.
Andre Iguodala, mind you, was 6-23 in the last two games of the finals in 2015 and still won finals MVP. Sorry, 6-23 from the free throw line in the last two games of the finals and still won finals MVP. Stephen Curry's vindication. Better fucking happen at some point. Hopefully not this year because he's facing the Celtics. But still.
So let's get into the actual match. Off the hop, Super Crazy is the last one to enter because he's the champ. He does a springboard double clothesline to both men in the ring, Tajiri and Guido. We get a buzzsaw kick early by Tajiri.
Hell nice. Yeah. Levels the shit out of Super Crazy.
Yeah.
And then right after that, so it's a three-man match, and Guido just gets involved, grabs Tajiri by the legs, takes him to the corner, and crotches him on the post. Guido then hits a top rope leg drop at one point for a near fall.
Yep.
And then I wrote, this shit too fast.
Flying head scissors, Tajiri sends Crazy to the floor under the bottom rope. You know that Mysterio spot that I always associate with him where you slide him across like it's curling? And he just flops down to the ground. Yeah, I threw my Canadian references in there. And a diving acai moonsault by Tajiri, which is beautiful. But then Big Sal runs Tajiri the fuck over.
And there is my MVP. Big Sal, my man is chunky like a monkey, but he don't give a shit. He's the best wrestler in this match.
He sends Tajiri over the guardrail. Guido gets flipped over the guardrail by Crazy. Sal charges. And Super Crazy moves and then jumps off of Sal's back because he's leaned over the guardrail onto the others. It is a fantastic setup. It does not take long to develop. You don't know that that's the spot that's happening. And that makes for the best spots.
Then back in the ring, Super Crazy and Sal are there. Super Crazy gets him into the corner, does the 10 punches in the corner. But on the 10th one, he grabs a chair that he already had set up in the post, I guess.
Yeah, just nearby.
He just like stabbed it on the top part of the post and just had it hanging there for a little bit.
I will need this later.
Did 9 punches, grabs a chair on the 10th one and just smashes it over Sal's head. and then Tajiri
kicks the chair into Crazy's face. You get a neck breaker by Guido. Guido gets a little bit of control. Good for Guido.
I just right here. Guido going stupid.
Yeah.
And then Tajiri's coming back. And at one point here, Guido gets rocked up. He's up against the guardrail on the outside. And then Tajiri just casually turns, hits literally the most casual back kick you will ever see. It's probably a mule kick, I guess, is how you could best describe it. Just straight to perfect. Picture perfect, right to Guido's fucking face. And then the camera pans over to Super Crazy, and he's bleeding like a stuck pig.
Yes, Crazy got busted up on the front suplex onto the floor. Tajiri kicks a chair in Guido's face, sets up a table, drop kicks the open table into Guido's face on the apron, which just seems unnecessarily painful.
Yeah.
Sal interrupts Tajiri because Sal wants more MVP shine. Guido tosses him into Sal, who hits him with a chair. Guido's also busted open now. Lots of blood. Yeah. And this is maybe 7 minutes of action, 8 minutes, not even. It's nuts. It's hard to follow.
Yeah, Sal takes out Tajiri. Guido's ready for murder. So Sal is on the apron here. Tajiri hits the back spring. I want to say when he's going for the handspring, because Tajiri loves to do a handspring back elbow, he does the hamstring. And while he's doing the hamstring, his legs kick Sal. Sal flies off the apron through a fucking table.
Because there was always tables. There were always tables set up at ringside at ECW.
When the hell did that happen?
It's a great little addition they always have. They're like, we know people like the Dudley Boys. Were they on the roster still? No, they would have left by now. But like, you know, they had the Dudley Boys for years. They got to just keep tables around. Those bitches, people are going through them.
It's like having hot sauce in your purse.
You gotta have a little hot sauce. If you had to have purse hot sauce? What's your purse hot sauce?
Oh, it's a tiny thing of Frank's Red.
Okay. Yep.
It's always going to be Frank's Red for me.
Yep. That is the right choice. Frank's Red is a sponsorship opportunity for you.
Oh, you don't even have to sponsor us. Just send me some free bottles. That's all I care about.
We had a Gory Guerrero special into an airplane spin by Tajiri. Super Crazy keeps getting kicked every time he tries to rejoin the match. Whether it's Guido or Tajiri, somebody kicks him every time. We now get to the first elimination. Tajiri piles a bunch of chairs on Guido and is kicking Crazy. He puts the table on top of Guido, who's covered in chairs, puts Crazy on the table, tries to do a diving stomp like the coup de grace, essentially.
Yeah.
But Crazy moves. Tajiri goes through the table onto Guido. They both pin Guido. 1, 2, 3. It's a 1-on-1 match because all ECW triple threats are elimination style.
Yes, which is a thing I love. I think we need more of that.
I do too. I think it's great.
AW, opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like oftentimes when I look at a triple threat, I'm like, okay, so who's in this match to eat the pin?
Yeah.
Right? So that gets rid of that whole thing.
Yeah, and I think it's best, especially best in a singles opportunity. Like if you're doing a multiple team tag match, like, sure, whatever. As long as it's a tornado match, I don't give a shit. But if you're doing like solo, like a three-way tag, it just needs to be elimination because it just makes more sense.
It does. We get another airplane spin by Tajiri, a German suplex for a two, and then our boys Carino and Victory are here.
Yeah.
Jack Victory sighting.
Johnny V and Stevie C.
Stevie C in the place to be. We get Crazy current counters. He counters a hurricane run into a powerbomb. We get a springboard moonsault for a two.
Which was picture perfect.
Yeah, it's amazing. These guys are so
holy
crisp.
Shit.
So clean. Crazy gets a table out because, you know, the other one got broken by Sal. Sets sit up. And then Carino gives to Jiri a crowbar. What are you doing with a crowbar, Steve?
Maybe he had to lift his car up or some shit.
Jack Victory's car broke down, 100%.
Oh.
Jack Victory drives a one of those Oldsmobiles that had like the wood.
Oh, wood panel?
It was his dad's. And it just.
Tell me, I want one of those.
Oh, me too. Who doesn't want wood around their cars?
I want some wood grain. Give me that shit. All day.
Tajiri is. Crazy gets the crowbar and uses it on Tajiri as well. The ref holds back Crazy's arm when he's going to hit him again. Tajiri goes for the mist, hits the ref, and Crazy powerbombs Tajiri through the table. We get a springboard moonsault. Beautiful again. Ref is down, though, so nobody counts. And who shows up?
Rhino shows up.
I love it here.
Absolutely destroys Super Crazy with a gore. By the way, it needs to be said, the gore, in my opinion, greatest spear in history.
Agreed.
Still. Not even close.
I think it's also just something about, like, Rhino is just built like a guy who, when he hits you with that, that hurts.
He also just fucking destroys people with it.
And he's always just so strong. Like, his head is down, and he's just a boulder running at you.
It's, okay, here's where I think, this is actually something that I love about Bron Breakker spear, which I think is more similar to a gore than it is a regular one. Is that when Rhino hits the gore, he sends people, like he shoots the person in his direction. It's a change of direction kind of thing. Whereas when Goldberg, you know, Roman,
Edge.
Whoever is Edge is hitting a spear, it's kind of like Edge is kind of like a separate case because the way he does, he like hooks the person and brings them down. Goldberg and Roman kind of like lift them a little bit and then plant them. Whereas, let's say I'm showing the example to Evan. Person's standing. Rhino's coming through. That person's getting launched.
Yeah, like, they're moving backwards.
Yeah.
Whereas Roman and Goldberg, if they go up and Edge, they just go right down. I agree. Yeah. There's physics to it. Anyways, he gores the shit out of Super Crazy. Then we get a pile driver off the apron through the table that Crazy set up. They give Tajiri the one-arm pin. New ref shows up. 1, 2, 3. Tajiri is the ECW television champion.
Hi, Don Callis.
Here comes Cyrus the Virus. He says, I'm drunk on power. Well, here comes a powerful drunk to deal with him. It's the Sandman. Sandman doesn't actually come to the ring. He just looks at the network and is like, ah. That's about it.
Need more Enter Sandman in my life.
That's true. But I don't need more Metallica. Enter Sandman is just the right amount of Metallica. Then I'm good. That's the right amount of Metallica for me. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we get back, another ECW match for Tajiri. Back from the break, it is Tajiri versus Psicosis. It is August 19th, 2000, ECW TV. An event titled ECW Blood and Guts. Where'd you get your ideas from, Tony Khan?
Blood and Guts!
This is one of Tajiri's highest rated matches in terms of actual star rating.
Really?
It is. The other one was also up there. The three-way dance is up there. But in terms of pure star rating, I think this is one of his only, in terms of single, or like his like non-gimmick matches like Rumbles, one of his only ones that's like a 4 or above.
That's actually kind of surprising to me.
It is very surprising to me because Tajiri is consistently crisp and clean.
I think it's more probably because his matches, especially once he got to WWE, did not last.
No, he was never really given the time to shine. ECW would let Tajiri like main event. Like they were like, we're going to let, you know, Psicosis, Tajiri, Juventud, we're going to let Super Crazy, all these guys, put out any combination of them, 2, 3, 4 of them, give them 20 minutes. Tear the whole place down.
Yeah. Tear the whole place down, bring down the house, and honestly, I fuck with this match. This match is really fun.
This match is dope. This is also Psicosis' return. He actually had been gone, and this is his time back. I don't know if it was injury or if he had just been away from ECW, but he's back and hadn't missed a step. He's still really good.
Did Psicosis ever go to WCW?
I believe Psicosis was in WCW. You talk about the match. I'm going to confirm that about Psicosis.
All right, so we start the match here, and Psicosis almost immediately puts on this like weird neck crank sort of move on Tajiri that Tajiri manages to get some leverage point on and then flips over into a Brock lock. And I thought that was fucking dope. First off, the fact that no one in wrestling does, at least on main TV wrestling, does a stretch muffler / Brock lock is an absolute travesty. It's one of my favorite fucking submission moves, and it just needs to come back. Just needs to.
Psicosis was in WCW. He actually lost his mask on WCW TV, for the first time. He lost it to Rey Mysterio Sr. in a tour of Mexico, but then they did it again in WCW where he lost it to Billy Kidman on Nitro. And I know how much you love Billy Kidman.
Fucking Billy Kidman. anyways, there's this clean-ass grapple transition here pretty early on, and I know Psicosis is very good at this, but seeing how smooth and crisp Tajiri is, especially in those, not just in grappling, but in the transition phase of grappling, it is fucking insane. Yeah, it's smooth every time. It's honestly, it's insane. It's like he is literally a professional grappler out there.
It's a really, really good part of his game. Like, it's really good.
Yeah, so Tajiri, Psicosis does a leg kick on Tajiri. Tajiri obviously returns the favor, and Psicosis just fucking goes, fuck that, and just like moves away because Tajiri fucking hurts people.
Yes, his kicks are deadly.
At one point here, it looks like Tajiri is about to go for a code red, but instead it hits an arm drag. A little bit down the line, Psicosis, since Jiri's up on the top rope, he's going for a tornado DDT. Psicosis manages to turn that into a sit out front suplex.
So good.
Yeah, we get an absolutely wild pin from Tajiri where I don't even know how the fuck.
I have no words to describe it. I think this is going to be my like suggested watch of the week is this match. There are multiple parts of this match I can't explain using words I know.
This was my favorite. This was definitely my favorite part of it.
Yeah,
of the matches, which is crazy because the next proper match that we cover involves two of our faves.
Yes, it does, and this is still my favorite, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah. Anyways, right after that pin, there's a kick to the face where honestly, I don't know how homie still has teeth.
Yes, there's a kick. Tajiri hits a headbutt to the balls of Psicosis, and then while he's seated, kicks his face into the back of his head.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. Tajiri's
in the corner and moves as Psicosis is charging in at him. Psicosis goes tumbling to the outside through the middle rope. Tajiri tope over the turnbuckle, which always just feels a little more impressive because it's just a little bit more to cover, you know?
Yeah, Sami Zayn, come on, come back.
Yeah, do that.
Come back to me.
You don't need to be in the bloodline, Sami Zayn. You just need to be doing that.
I saw a really cool idea where someone pitched Sami Zayn winning the Money in the Bank thing, and then reassuring Roman, "Hey, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm a bloodline member, right? Hey, all this stuff." And then obviously at least do the Sami Zayn babyface turn, and I get all the joy in life that comes with it.
I'd love that.
Give it to me. Anyways, so Tope Conilo over into the corner. By the way, onto fucking concrete. There are no mats on these floors. Concrete.
We spent the mat budget on tables.
And then it gets even worse. So at one point, Psicosis gets Tajiri out into the crowd over the guardrail.
Yep.
And he just decides, fuck it, my turn. Hits a Tope Conilo. Well, not really. It's mostly just a dive to the outside.
But they brought the guardrail forward a little bit, but he's still into the crowd onto Tajiri.
Yeah, and this motherfucker lands hard on the concrete.
We get a chair shot by Psicosis. We then get the only botch, and I use that very lightly, of the match, which is Psicosis is going for something. Even Joey Styles on commentary is like, it's a dropkick or a Hurricane Rana. He's trying for something, legs off the top rope, but Tajiri just reversed it into a sloppy powerbomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Handspring elbow by two, or by Tajiri for a two. Also, Joey Styles solo commentary. I just know there's not enough people who can do it. Solo commentary sucks. Styles is actually really good at it. He talks the exact right amount as a solo commentary guy.
Yeah. Who in wrestling today do you think could be able to do it?
It's not commentary in the same way, but I could listen to Pat McAfee call a whole match on his own. It wouldn't be proper commentary, but I could listen to it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it would be like hanging with my boy, and he's just like, look at that fucking move.
I think Excalibur could pull it off.
Excalibur could. You're right.
I don't think it'll be Joey Styles level, or very good. I think he'll be fine. I think he'd be fine.
If for some reason something happened and he was the only commentary person available, he'd do okay.
Well, no, that wouldn't matter because AEW would just send out Jericho or whoever.
They'd send out Punk. They'd 100% send out Punk.
No, he's got a broken foot.
Yeah, but in this hypothetical,
Tony's like, fuck it, I'll go myself.
And he just
and we've got fucking the Young Bucks fucking hitting a fucking tope.
Yeah, Tony needs to dial it back a little bit. I mean, I'd be excited too if I owned AEW.
A little bit. He needs to dial it 10 fucking notches back.
Wheelbarrow German suplex by Psicosis for a two is really nice.
Which is, by the way, in my top five for favorite basic moves.
Yeah, it just looks so good.
Okay, and when I say basic, I mean not a move that nobody has as a signature or a finish.
Somebody should snatch that up as a signature, at least.
Hell yeah, especially if you have a neck finisher.
Yeah.
I'm not softening you up. How do I soften someone up for a powerbomb? I'm in a wheelbarrow suplex. Wardlow!
Give it to Wardlow. We get a trio of woe by Tajiri, baseball slide into the head for a two count. Chops by Tajiri. Good chops. It's all chops.
Oh, yeah.
We get a Hurricane Rana, a roll through on the Rana by Psicosis. Two count. And we got a double clothesline spot, which I was surprised by. I was like, really at this point? Double clothesline?
Yeah. And then a little after that, I know it's the Attitude Era, but what is it with the with this move infringement here? My man's is copying the big man in town because Tajiri hits a stunner?
Incorrect. Tajiri hits a whippersnapper, which is the finisher of Mikey Whipwreck. Now, I don't know what the origin is, but I feel like some Whipwreck interacted with Austin when he was in ECW. I don't know if they all had the same idea or not, but it's a whippersnapper, and even it is called as such by Joey Styles.
Yeah, it's like how people fucking would say, you know, the RKO is an RKO and not a fucking diamond cutter.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, fuck that. No, it's a stunner. He hits an up kick afterwards for a near fall. A little bit down the line, Psychosis hits a middle rope front suplex, goes up to the top, top rope leg drop for a near fall, and then we get to the finish, which, okay, so Psychosis goes for a drop kick. I guess it's like a, not a regular drop kick, it's kind of like a shotgun drop kick of sorts, but like a soft version of it. And Tajiri just puts his leg up, just puts his boot up to kind of break it up, but instead just ends up getting a foot full of taint.
Yeah.
That's kind of the best way to say it. So my man's is down for the count because his cooter is all sorts of messed up. And in the meantime, he hits a bunch of kicks, hits the ropes, hits like a shotgun drop kick, I guess. 1, 2, 3, Tajiri wins the match.
If you're wondering, on the Wikipedia article for Stunner, it does say that it was innovated by Mikey Whipwreck.
Mikey Whipwreck can kiss three cooters for all I care.
Wow. The disrespect to Michael Whipwreck. Moving on, Tajiri would ride out his ECW contract right to the end. He would perform on the last two ECW shows of all time. I mean, until WWE ECW came back, but that's a bastard organization.
We stand a loyal king.
We do. He would then come to WWF and was made William Regal's assistant, and we had to put these in as the, you know, promos this week. It is two different, I guess, backstage skits, segments, promos with Regal and Tajiri. The first one is Regal getting interrupted by the Dudleys, but the main thing is him explaining the worm to Tajiri. But before we get into it, you mentioned Regal and Tajiri. Did you see, you really didn't see their Attitude Era stuff together. You saw them as a tag team later, right?
Yeah, I saw them as the team later on. I didn't see a lot of this stuff.
Did you see any of this stuff on a rewatch or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. No, no. I know all about the interactions between the two. It's just sensational shit.
So Regal explaining the concept of the worm to Tajiri, because Tajiri's about to have a match with Scotty Tuhati. I want Regal to explain everything in my life.
I want more specifically, I want him to explain TikTok trends.
Oh my god, yes.
Can you imagine
what you don't understand is the word Balenciassis. What is it? It's not a real word, Tajiri.
Can you imagine? Remember when Megan Thee Stallion dropped Savage and she had that dance with it? I want him to explain that to me.
You have to throw it back. It doesn't mean throw your back out. It means you have to throw it back. It being your bottom. this would be great. I like it. So he's explaining the worm. And it's a great concept because he's like, you go down and then there's this wild look that happens in Scotty's eyes. And then he starts getting W-O. And then his move to, because he doesn't do the worm on the ground. So he just does like a body roll with his hands in there. It's like, it's the worm. It's the worm.
And then the Dudley boys come in and they're asked why they're pissed. They're the champs, the tag champs. They're asking why they're facing Chris Jericho. He says it's because Jericho said that if he wins the WWF title, that he's going to defect to WCW. And he's basically saying that Jericho needs to be taught a lesson.
Yes.
And the Dudley boys are like, what? And Regal then just goes, he says he wants Jericho to go through a table. To which Dudley's like,
you could have just said that.
Yeah, if you wanted me to go to the table, you just could have said that. It's fine.
Bubba says cheerio, which I hate. Something about it just feels off. Feels weird. We pan back to Regal and Tajiri. What is Tajiri doing, Javier?
Tajiri's mimicking the worm thing that Rigo did, and Rigo's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Next segment is 2 weeks later. So they're hitting comedy goldmine every week with these two.
Oh, this might be my favorite thing we've ever done on this podcast.
Regal is proud of the way Tajiri took care of Taz on Raw. I guess the Dudleys are also now on the Alliance side because now they're the bad guys because there's a match happening on Raw. And it's Taz and the Dudleys versus Tajiri, Kane, and Undertaker.
So the clip starts with Regal talking about Paul Heyman, calling him a parasite, saying he was sitting at my desk and all this other shit. And then tells Tajiri that he's got a match against... He starts talking about Taz and the Dudleys and stuff. He tells Tajiri he has a match against them and that his partners are going to be Kane and The Undertaker. And Tajiri flips the fuck out.
Tajiri is fangirling. It's amazing.
He's going so hard. And then obviously, Kane, Undertaker, and Sarah come into the room and Tajiri's still going crazy. And The Undertaker just goes, the hell is wrong with him?
And Regal says he's foreign. Which, you know, that was comedy in 2001. The underrated part of this whole little segment is Regal goes to shake Sarah's hand. And Undertaker slaps his hand and just goes, hands. Hands. Watch your hands. Regal's hyping them all up. I can't even understand what Regal is saying. He's so excited.
Because Tajiri in the background is just talking as well.
Yeah, Tajiri's speaking Japanese as well. But then Regal says, if they get you down, you have to rise up. And what does Tajiri do, Javier?
He lays down on the desk and mimics the Undertaker / Kane sit-up.
And then Tajiri is kneeling on the desk and is showing them how to do a double chokeslam by doing a double chokeslam to himself. He puts his own hands on his throat. Tajiri is freaking out on Undertaker Kane. Undertaker says, did he take his medication?
The way that they're looking at him. So you see the camera is mostly panned on Undertaker and Sarah and their faces for a little bit. And then it kind of like widens out a little bit. And mind you, Kane is rocking the mask. You don't get to see Kane's facial expressions. But somehow, when you see his face, you just know. You get the ultimate facial expression. He's like, he's just like,
he conveys that same anger.
If anything, it just shows me that Kane might be the greatest facial expression person in the history of wrestling.
Kane calls Tajiri a freak, which might be my favorite thing of all time.
Freak.
Let's take a break. When we get back, we have Tajiri going for the tag team titles. Back from the break, and it's a tag title ladder match. It is Tajiri teaming with Eddie Guerrero against Team Angle, Charlie Haas, and Shelton Benjamin. It is Judgment Day 2003, a ladder match for the tag titles. Tajiri was a fill-in partner for Chavo, who tore his bicep. He had been teaming in the past with other guys. Tajiri kind of bounced around with some teams. Rikishi, Funaki, and Rhino. Kind of bounced around, which is like, that's a random assortment of people. I didn't remember this match. I remembered Eddie and Tajiri weirdly as a team. I didn't remember this match, but like, it has my boy Shelton in it. It has your guy Eddie in it. It has the world's guy Charlie Haas in it.
Hell it's yeah. I didn't know this match existed. I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know who it was happening to. All I know is my first note here is your name in all caps with about a million N's because I was so fucking excited by the people that were in this match.
I love Shelton. I love Eddie. I appreciate Charlie Haas. You know,
wow.
Not going to say I love him, but I appreciate him. I think he's really good. And Tajiri's dope.
You know what the crazy thing about this is? In my opinion, I think the MVP of this match was Charlie Haas.
I thought he did a really good job. I thought he was kind of the glue, you know?
I thought it might, like, he's like the fourth guy in this match. I don't give a shit about Charlie Haas. And I thought he was the MVP.
Early on, you know, a lot of good ladder stuff early on. Benjamin whips Eddie into the ladder on the ramp immediately. Tajiri wants
Dead.
Yeah, Tajiri wants to head kick Haas. Benjamin saves him. We had a team gut buster by Team Angle where Benjamin drops Eddie onto Haas's knee, which I thought was dope.
Yeah, and then a little after that, Tajiri hits quite literally the worst plancha I have ever seen in my life.
He somehow lands on his face.
See, because his foot got caught on the top rope when he was going for it.
Oh, I was like,
how so did he, like, you... fell forward a little bit, and then Haas had to, like, maneuver himself to catch him, and it just ended up looking fucking terrible.
Haas kind of caught him with his leg.
Yeah, because he didn't want him to like, hit the floor.
To fucking die. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's some cool shit, though. And then a little down the line, both the baby faces are down. Team Angle's climbing the ladder of success. And then, you know, Tajiri decides, fuck it, 7 years bad luck ain't bad at all. Goes underneath the ladder,
yeah.
Does his handspring back elbow, brings that sucker down. And somewhere in life, I'm just thinking, wow, if that had happened to Sharpay and her brother, that would have been devastating.
Bop, 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 bop to the top.
I
don't know what part of our, I don't know what the circle is of our listeners and also High School Musical fans. It's probably smaller than we think.
It's me, it's my us. Girlfriend, you,
and like
probably your fiance.
Probably like three extra people. Yeah.
And that's about it.
Eddie is stomping on Charlie Haas. Tajiri sets a ladder between Charlie's legs. Eddie and Tajiri slide into it and slide the ladder into Charlie's Haas's, right into his nuts. Haas on a ladder, another ladder on top of him. Eddie does the over the rope kind of senton that he does.
I found out what that was called because of fucking Taz. Wait, what? Did I not read it?
Oh no. Taz says something.
It's like a Mito?
Meteora?
No. Shit.
Oh.
I didn't write it down.
Well,
motherfucker. It was something with an N. I think it was like a Mita or something like that.
Well, listen. Watch the match and listen to Taz.
Yeah.
He crunches Haas. Tajiri goes for the belts. Shelton pulls him off the ladder. We get maybe one of my favorite like Benjamin suplexes, which is a catch power slam looking thing.
Suplex. It's just a catch power slam.
I know, but they like commentary calls it a suplex, which I'm like, eh, it's not, it's a power slam.
And then Michael Cole is like, I think he power slammed him into the ladder.
And Taz just stands his ground. He's like, I know suplexes. I've seen suplexes in my day.
At one point, Haas lays Tajiri on the ladder, and we get the cool move that World Greatest Tag Team always does.
Yeah, Shelton jumps over Haas and he does onto the lifted up ladder.
Tajiri, yeah, except dead. This time he just jumped over the fucking ladder. Over Haas, onto Tajiri, and just like, taint be gone.
Taint be gone. Haas is climbing the ladder. Eddie pushes it, and Haas goes all the way over to the top rope onto the ground.
Shit, he absolutely murdered that man.
This is why Haas has an MVP case in this match, because that's a bump.
That is a fucking bump and a half. Tajiri has a ladder. So there's a ladder set up in the corner in between the top and middle ropes. It's just like wedged in there, and Tajiri just starts using it. He like kicks it, he's like maneuvering it in order to hit both members of the World's Greatest Tag Team, and then he just starts kicking the shit out of them. He grabs the ladder, starts beating them with the ladder. Yep. And then at one point he grabs Charlie Haas and throws on the tarantula, and then I witness a literal murder occur.
One, this is the first tarantula we've seen in all these matches.
Yes.
Which is a little wild. Two, Shelton cracks Tajiri with a ladder and is like, could be tried for attempted murder.
Yeah, and that is exactly what Chris Tucker wanted to do to Jackie Chan the entirety of the time that they filmed the three Rush Hour movies.
I love Rush Hour.
I love those movies.
So good.
Anytime I see him on TV, I have to watch.
Eddie's getting worked by Team Angle. Eddie monkey flips Benjamin into Haas and a ladder. Because Haas was coming at him with a ladder. Dumps Shelton to the outside. Dumps Haas as well. And I was like, oh, is this the finish? Like, Eddie's... The ring is clear.
Yeah, you'd think so. And then Eddie just decides, fuck it. And yeets himself with a frog splash off the ladder onto Shelton. Instead of grabbing the titles.
Haas is going up so slow on the other side. Eddie is able to get up, meet him, and sunset flip powerbomb him off the other side of the ladder.
And then Eddie is climbing up, but so is Shelton. And when they're there, we see Tajiri come back to life. Tajiri gets behind Eddie. He gets underneath Eddie on the ladder, puts his face like through the
rungs,
through the rungs, and just missed Shelton. So Shelton falls off the ladder. Tajiri climbs the other side. Eddie's up there. I'm like, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way. And then Eddie grabs one belt, grabs the other belt, and Eddie Guerrero and fucking Tajiri win the tag titles.
This match leads to Haas and Benjamin leaving Team Angle and forming World's Greatest Tag Team. Because Kurt Angle is mad at them for being losers because they went on a losing streak. They couldn't win the titles back right away. I think Eddie and Tajiri would hold them for a couple of months. I think it's like a 3-month reign. Maybe two. And then Eddie, I believe this, if I remember correctly, Eddie turns heel on Tajiri during their title defense or when they lose them because Tajiri accidentally hits his low rider.
And Eddie, I respect it.
Eddie has priorities and it is.
I respect it. Wait, so you mean to tell me that somewhere in the Xenoverse there is a Tajiri Eddie Guerrero match?
Probably.
Oh, mama.
Let's move to our last match. It is No Mercy. So later that year, 2003, and it is the Cruiserweight Championship. It is Tajiri defending the title against Rey Mysterio. Tajiri would turn heel by misting Mysterio after a title shot. He won the belt on the September 25th SmackDown. And not 3 days before this No Mercy, Tajiri would blind Nidia with his mist, causing her to go blind, causing the famous blindfold match between Nidia and Jamie Noble, and that long-ass angle.
I love that angle.
I love the way the world is interconnected, but this is the Cruiserweight Championship versus Rey Mysterio. Gotta say, off the hop, the Rey Mysterio pop-up entrance is
goated.
It is...
Who's that jumping out the sky? R-E-Y, Mysterio. Here we go.
It is just the coolest goddamn thing. And I remember 11-year-old me being like, I am like the same size as that man. And look at him go out there. Pop out from the stage and just, you know, fight people. I'm like, this is the best.
When he won the Royal Rumble, Evan, you were like, if he could do it, I could do it. Short Kings unite.
He won in 06? Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 14. That's probably that height. Yeah. Because I'm the same height as Rey Mysterio now. So for those listening at home.
You're also about the same height as Messi, you know?
I'll take it. Yeah, you know, we got Short Kings. Short Kings and Hats.
Hey, you know, if you got to think, though, without Short Kings, how would you reach short places?
You'd bend over. I'm also the same height as Kendrick Lamar and Dustin Hoffman and Jack Black, according to Google.
Ah, Jack Black. I think Jack Black might be my favorite of all the Short Kings. No offense, Evan.
It's okay. Jack Black is also one of my most often like celebrity comps. And people are like, you act like Jack Black. And like, I'll take that as a compliment, I think.
That is a compliment. That is 100% a compliment.
Before this match starts, the referee checks Tajiri's mouth for mist, which has got to be an awkward ask.
Fuck you, Hebner.
Yes, this is Brian Hebner. And
this is Hebner Jr.
He's got to be checking for mist. That's what he's doing. What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was fine. Honestly, I like it was way more grounded than I expected it to be.
Yeah, kind of like flying around. A little less.
Yeah, I just expect, I don't know. I expected a little bit more pace considering the two wrestlers in it. And it just didn't have that. And I think because of that, it didn't get to the gear that I wanted it to get to. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad match. I think it's a fine match. It's just compared to the other matches that we've cut on this podcast, it didn't reach anywhere near even the worst of
that
those
gear?
Matches.
Yeah. Tajiri, this is Tajiri's highest rated WWE Cruiserweight title match.
Jesus Christ.
Which I find very strange. Very strange. Also, if you're wondering, according to this website, the most famous celebrity who is my height, 5'6", is Pablo Escobar. So I don't know what to do with that information. I don't know how to come back from that. But if you're wondering, dear listener, Javier has fallen to the floor in laughter. So I'm going to explain some of the match, okay? You're still with me. So both men tumble to the outside with a collar and elbow tie-up. which is, I think, an interesting start where the call on all the time, but no one gets the advantage. You just kind of fall to the outside. I like that. You back, Javier? You good?
I'm not good, but I'm back.
I'm not fine, but I'm here.
And Mysterio, a little after that, Mysterio tries Magic Tajiri's kicks, and he just looks frustrated because, well, Tajiri looks frustrated because Mysterio's trying to kick with him, and it's not all right.
Yeah, Tajiri gets arm dragged, and then Mysterio picks the leg and works it, and I was like, is Mysterio a ground-based guy now? What's going on here?
At one point here, Tajiri starts getting some work done on the shoulder here, and that kind of becomes the story of his offense. He just starts working over Mysterio's shoulder.
Which is kind of weird, because Rey doesn't need his arms for a lot of his most important moves.
He's also got bad knees.
Yeah, historically.
Yeah,
even by 2003.
My man's got Derrick Rose creakers down there. What's going on
here? Oh, man. This makes me sad, knowing Derrick Rose's knees just... blue.
Let's just say I don't want to hear him walk up some stairs.
We get a wheelbarrow arm drag by Mysterio, low drop kick. Handspring elbow is attempted by Tajiri, and Mysterio just drop kicks him in the spine to counter it, which
and then hits a plancha.
It's a great plancha. Yeah, really good.
Tajiri, while on the outside, managed to get the advantage. Puts Ray's arm in a hammerlock position, and then runs him straight into the post.
Yep. Very simple. Very
back in the ring, hits a crescent kick to the fucking jaw.
Yes.
On Ray. A little bit after that, Ray hits a tornado DDT for a near fall. Springboard crossbody.
Yeah, it's nice. Tajiri kicks out of the pin there for on the near fall, because it was just the arm drape pin. Just one arm over, so he's easy to lift up. Mysterio gets catapulted. He lands on the top rope, and then he does this weird, it's not a Hurricane Rana or a Frankensteiner, but he is on the ropes, and he uses his legs to send Tajiri to the outside. It's like he scoops him up under his arms with his legs and just kind of sends him to the outside.
Yeah. The way you said that, it kind of looked like your cat had just pooped on the ground and you had to pick it up with your hand for some reason.
And he's just kind of fling it away.
Just
get the fuck out of here.
Whee! Tajiri tries to throw Ray out of the ring, but Ray manages to catch himself with a 619. Tajiri's still close enough, so he eats a 619 to the gut.
While standing, which I feel is so weird.
And then he goes, Ray goes for a seated senton.
The West Coast pop.
Yeah, sure. Tajiri catches him and hits a power bomb for a near fall.
Mysterio gets launched overhead again, lands on the top rope, hits a beautiful moonsault.
Catch was insane.
It was so good. So good.
Because he didn't even grab with his hands.
He just balanced a little bit like a surfboard and just fucking went.
Yeah.
Tajiri hits a tarantula, which again,
seconds.
5 seconds. That's it.
It looked like, I forget which match it was. I think it might have been the triple threat. It looked like he was about to set up for a tarantula, and then it gets spoiled.
Yeah, and then they just didn't do it.
And then right after the tarantula, because again, it only lasts 5 seconds, even though it's the coolest move in the history of professional wrestling. Tajiri misses a buzzsaw kick, ends up eating a basement drop kick to the face after a pin attempt. He tried to roll through for a pin. Ray rolled out of that, and he gets kicked in the face. Ray hits a 619, Frankensteiner, and then somebody gets in the ring.
Two men rush the ref and ringside in the distraction, a buzzsaw kick, and Tajiri wins. It is Tajiri's new teammates, Akio and Sakota.
Oh! Yeah,
it is Akio.
I know who Akio is. It's my boy Jimmy Wang Yang.
Yeah, aka the owner of the greatest match in Velocity history.
And who the fuck is the other one?
Sakota. Yeah, Ryan Sakota. So he did work in the independents and had some time in WWE. So they would be known as Kyodai. Tajiri would lose the championship, and he kept the heel persona, and he was going to be there's a little stable of Tajiri and Kyodai. But they would quickly be separated from Tajiri because, I guess, WWE writers proposed the idea of portraying them as Japanese gangsters, and Tajiri was like, that might piss off the legitimate Yakuza, and I'm not going to do that. Which, I love this. The self-preservation of Tajiri is through the roof. He's like, yeah, that's a
smart man.
Bad idea, so I'm not going to do it.
I have family in Japan, and I am from Japan.
I would like to go back to Japan. He would actually leave in WWE in 2005 to go to Japan because he wanted to go be a journalist. He would make a one-off appearance when they came to Japan in 2008, but he ended up going all over. He's been in Hustle, All Japan, New Japan, Wrestle One. He came back for the Cruiserweight Classic in WWE.
Yeah.
He's in MLW now. Like, he's just bounced around.
I thought you were going to put the Cruiserweight Classic match in this bitch.
I thought about it, but then I wanted to kind of focus more on, essentially, once we found that New Japan match, and I was like, that's like a hidden gem. Like, let's go dig deep. Dig deep. What'd you think? What'd you think watching the career of Tajiri?
I had fun. This was fun.
He is a good time. Incredibly fun.
Yeah, I mean, Tajiri's just, it's like I said earlier, he's one of the more unique wrestlers we've ever had, especially for his time period. Just because, like, even Tajiri, even nowadays, where we have wrestlers, you know, that cover the entire spectrum of what's possible in pro wrestling, I still can't even really think of someone who is similar to Tajiri.
I can't really think of an appropriate comp.
Because, like, we have guys who do moves that Tajiri can do. You know?
Yeah.
But there's no one who wrestles the style that Tajiri had, because he was really unique. He kind of wrestled in a way, it was obviously wrestling based, but it had a lot of like kickboxing elements to it. Yeah. But he was so much more than that. He had a lot of grappling.
For a cruiserweight, he was weirdly cerebral. Like, he was very focused and very like precise, and not saying that other cruiserweights who do a lot of like the flips and things aren't precise, but it just, everything in his mannerisms came across that way. And he's also one of the cruiserweights who I think does best both babyface and heel. He could do either. Essentially, it's just who did you miss last that will decide if you're a babyface or a heel when you're Tajiri.
You want to know a funny missed story? So obviously, you know, I was watching wrestling with my brother very early on, so we used to do the thing, the Triple H water spit sometimes. Of course,
we all did, yeah.
And then one time, after a Tajiri segment, my brother's like, hey. And he's like, I'm like 5, 6, 7 at this point. Like, really young, really gullible. He's like, hey, do something. I think he like told me to go to the kitchen and grab him like some Ritz or some shit. So I did it, and then I come back and I sit down, and he like taps me in the shoulder, and I turn to him, and he just spits the water in my face. And he goes, I'm like, Tajiri.
When they say don't try this at home, like, honestly, that's when you could try it home. Missed people. And that's fine.
The worst part about it is, so I had this World Heavyweight Championship, like a kid toy belt or whatever. Yep. And when he did it, he like rolled me up. Well, we would do that all the time. Like, we would just roll each other up. He rolled me up and he counts to 3 and he fucking takes the belt.
You got 24/7 championshipped, my friend.
And not only that, he still took the Ritz crackers.
Oh my God. Now that we've gone through Javier's drama, let's talk about our next three-parter. It is time to reveal who our next three-part series is on. Javier, introduce this gentleman.
Woo! It's Sting.
It's funny because if you just shortened the woo, people would have thought it's Ric Flair, but you lengthened the woo, so it's Sting.
Or, you know, there's a certain, if you add enough depth to your voice, it might be Pop Smoke.
That is true. We are going to be covering Sting. We're going to be looking at Surfer Sting. We're looking at Scorpion Sting. We're going to be looking at TNA Sting. We're probably going to throw at least one WWE match in there. I don't know which one I want to
cover. There might even be some AEW Sting.
There might be some AEW Sting. We're going to look at the icon, Sting. I am ready to get a deeper appreciation because Sting has always been a guy I knew about and just was like, good for him. Never really got to see. I wasn't a WCW kid. I wasn't a TNA guy. So I want to see the whole Sting experience. It's 3 straight episodes. I'm excited.
You know what the weird thing about Sting is? Sting is one of those guys who, honestly, like, we could probably do a 4 or 5-parter on Sting.
He has been around forever and has never really been anything but, like, a upper mid-card guy everywhere. Whether he's the star, like, there was, like, what, that 2-year span in WCW, he was the guy. Like, he was their dude. And then TNA, he also was the guy at multiple points.
Yeah, and then he's got some matches in WWE, some matches in AEW. Like, my man took a gap in his career, and it somehow didn't even affect anything.
Unfazed. Unfazed is Sting. I am still a little mad we never got the Sting-Undertaker proper match.
I'm very upset about it, but honestly, like, hindsight, man.
Some things just aren't meant to be, you know?
Yeah.
C'est la vie. But join us next week. We're going to be covering Sting. We're at that time where we're going to talk about the socials. Follow us, of course, at Crossbody of Work on Twitter. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine, at JMello Sports. Follow the boy.
Follow him. Tweet him encouragement about the Celtics. Or if they have unfortunately lost by the time this comes out, tweet him condolences about their season. Follow me, at Zevan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Follow the boys. And it's time, of course, for Javier's little bit at the end. Any last words for the people, Javier?
God, this week's... I'm a fucking nervous wreck. I'm stressed. The Celtics play game 6 tonight in roughly 2 hours. I don't know how the outcome's going to be. There's no Scott Foster. There's no the extender out there.
No extender?
No extender tonight. I'm very stressed out. It's here in Boston, and if we were to lose tonight, there will be tears shed. And I don't know how to mentally prepare for it. So,
and if you win tonight, there'll be bloodshed.
And if I win tonight, then the entirety of my girlfriend Kelly's apartment complex will be hearing my voice. And it's just one of those things where, like, I'm fucking stressed. I'm a mess. I don't know. So honestly, life advice with Javier this week is hopefully Evan giving me some fucking life advice. Evan, how do you deal with stress?
How do I deal with stress? You got to find your places to put it. You got to acknowledge it. You can't just ignore stress, even when it's, you know, if it's sports stress, if it's work stress, if it's school stress, if life stress, you got to acknowledge it. If you just try to pretend it's not there, it doesn't work. It will always be there. You got to acknowledge it. You got to name it. You got to figure out what's stressing you out. You got to figure out what things you can control and what things you can't. What you can control, Javier, is how you feel after. You can't control Jason Tatum being garbage from the mid-range. You can't control that. You can't control if Draymond Green all of a sudden learns how to shoot again. These are things you can't control, but what you are able to control is your own fandom, how you feel about the team, how you're proud of the team.
And I'm not.
The thing, though, is you can always respond. You know, if you're sad, you can get ice cream. If you're happy, you can get ice cream. Maybe my suggestion is just to get ice cream.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where I'm landing. Get ice cream. That'll solve all problems. If you're stressed, ice cream. If you're lactose intolerant, other cream. All right. Let's go home.
Take it home. Wrap it up.
We're going to be back next week to talk about Sting. Very excited to talk about the surfer himself. Thanks so much for listening to us talk about Tajiri. We'll see you next week.
Bye.